Good afternoon, church, and good afternoon to those online. One person say, everything under the sun will die, but music will never die. I want to thank Sister Ariana Bennett and company for that wonderful song. Amen. And thank our champion praise team for did a fabulous job. Amen. They sound like six peals of thunder. Amen. And thank our musician and thank the technical department over there. They did a fabulous job. And of course, thank Brother Marshall on the drum. Amen. You know, I think if King Saul was still alive and troubled the spirit, he'd have sent an axe for Ariana to come and sing that song. Amen. It was soothing and comforting. It gives you a time to reflect on God's goodness. Because God is the only source for us in this time. Would you say amen? Amen? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come once more. We know you have been speaking from morning. Oh God, continue to speak to us today. Forgive us for our sins, Lord. And let nothing be between our soul and the Savior today. Lord, give us a word today that will transform our lives. We beg thee, we ask thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, funny, I was driving this week and I saw a text message on my phone. I never know who the person was because since I got a new phone, you know, once you don't do about that Google thing, then you'll miss everybody. So I saw the text message and I'm like, I ain't going to open that. So when I opened it, the question said, can you preach today? And then I want to say no. But I felt the Lord kick me in the back. Go. I'm being honest to you. And I text back, sure. You know, there's one thing I taught as a young man growing up in the church. We were taught that as young men grew up in a church, we should always be ready. And my elder, he used to have these Sunday night meetings where we come to church. And if you're watching, Brother Gale, it's you I'm talking if you're watching. He used to have these Sunday night meetings where we come early Sunday night. You have what you call a practice preaching. And he would sit in the church and watch us preach. And he would tell us, just know one text. And work around the text and stay with the text in its context. And he would listen to us. And there's another elder, he's passed and gone on, but his name was Brother George Brown. He would sit on the left side of the church and he would listen to us as we preach. And if we say, you could know when you say something foolish. He would be like, but it was a process to give you the ability to learn and get ready for the wider world. When I was not ready to come to America, Brother George Brown tell me, I wouldn't call the name that he called me, but he called me the name that everybody know me then. And then he said, when you go up to America, don't let America put you in their mold. When I left Jamaica, that thing lingered in my head every day. The first time I came across a situation where I want to make a fool of myself, I remember the word. Don't let America put you in the mold. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, the only mold we need today is to be molded and fashioned in the word of God. God, there's something about the word. It keeps you in a straight line. There's something about the word. So my elder used to teach us to preach. So when the elder asked me to preach, it's like 30 years flashback in my head. I'll preach. Because if you're here as God's child, you always have something to preach. You always will have something to preach. Once God reigns supreme in your life, you always have something to preach. You may not preach like Paul, but you always have something to preach. If you may preach like the little maid in Naaman's house, send the master to Samaria. Just that. And that's preaching. Let's get into the word now. The scripture reading for opening was 2 Timothy. It said all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, in righteousness, so that we can be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto good works. And Sister Nikisha prayed a prayer this morning, and she said, we are not reading the word as we used to. That's so true. The story told many years ago about a lady. She went to church, and after church finished, she went back home, and she couldn't get into her house. She couldn't get into her house because she couldn't find her house keys. The next Christmas, she went back to church. And when the preacher preaches again, she opened back her Bible and there was her keys in her Bible. If we just open the Bible, it have all the answers to world problem. A young man went to college, and after college, when he finished college, his father handed him a Bible. In fact, when he was in college, his father told him, son, when you finish college, I'm going to give you a Porsche. When he finished college, his father handed him a Bible. He got so upset and angry. Dad, you say you would have given me a Porsche, but now you only give me a Bible. The young man put the Bible down and he went his way on. Many years after his dad died, the Bible was the only thing left to remind him of his father. And when he started opening the Bible, he came across an envelope in the Bible saying to the Porsche dealership. When he opened the envelope, he saw a receipt for a Porsche, paid for it in full. If we only open the Bible, there's something about the word. Great men speak about the word. Men like Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan say, this is what he say. He say a thorough knowledge of the word of God is worth more than a college education. Man like Roosevelt Theodore, for all the problem that we face, is the problem for the world, the answer for the problem of the world lies within the Bible. Man like John Calvin, a French theologian, he say it like this, Soraya, he say it like this. The word of God is like a magnified glass that help our blurry vision. But as much as all these men saw the importance of the word of God, they're always opposition. They're always men who see the word of God as a threat, as a problem for their lifestyle. So they will always try to get rid of the word. Men like, I can't remember his name, but it was an empire in Rome. Diocletian, whatever his name was. He tried to get rid of the Bible. He was the first one who tried to get rid of the word of God. But as soon as he came out of power, Constantine came back in power. And then Constantine requests that we get more Bibles. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. The Bible say in Isaiah, the grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of God stands forever. No man can destroy the word of God. King Nero tried to wipe out the Christian and destroy the Bible, but he failed. All of them failed through the ages. There's something about the word. It transforms life. The word of God, we cannot get through life without the word of God. The word of God is so unique. It helps us to see around the corner. It helps us to see through the dark tunnel. It helps us to see over the mountain. It helps us to see beneath the surface. The word of God is so awesome. David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We cannot get through life without the word of God. So whenever time you see the Bible, look at it. And look at it and just understand there's something about the word. It transforms life. It makes you into a better person. When you read the word of God, you can never be the same. That's why Jesus said, "Study to show thyself approved. A workman needed not to be ashamed, but rightly divide the word of truth." Study the word. Jesus said, "Hey, because in them you think you have eternal life." Study the word, and it will make you a better person. Study the word. We are living in an age where the word of God is our only guide. Nothing else could guide us. Anything that's guiding you, you're going to be in big trouble. The word of God is the only thing you need. I don't know who you are here today, but God said he's with you based on the word. He's with you. If you're broken, he's with you. He said the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and the Spirit saved those who are crushed. We're in a time when we are so broken. Social isolation, we are broken. Suicidal rate, we are broken. Broken family, we are broken. But the Lord is saying, "I'm near to those who are broken." What a mighty God. When you read God's word, it gives you comfort. It gives you peace that surpasses all understanding. You cannot read in God's word and believe it and be the same. You cannot. It's impossible. Challenge yourself. Read God's word and believe it. Because indeed, David said, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Read God's word. I remember many years ago, I was talking to a young lady. And I always said to her, "You're so beautiful." I'm telling you, there's something about the word that transformed life. I said to her, "You're so beautiful." And I realized she always never take that happily, you know. And I find it strange why a young woman wouldn't take the word, "You're beautiful." Like, you know, young ladies like to hear that they're beautiful and excited about it. But as time goes on, she stopped me one day. I said, "Dennis, listen to me, man. I'm not beautiful." And I questioned, "Why you say you're not beautiful?" She tell me some stuff. She said, my husband and I, we did some stuff that we shouldn't have done. My husband and I, we started something and we aborted it. My husband and I, and since we abort what we started, I just never see myself beautiful. For a moment, I lost for words because I knew exactly what she was talking about. I lost for words in that moment. I felt like Daniel. I was dumb for a while. But Daniel did speak after. I felt like Zechariah. I was dumb for a while. But Zechariah spoke after. I felt like Helen G. White. I was dumb for a while. But she spoke after. I was dumb for a while. But God gave me a word after for her. Word was found in the book of Isaiah. "Come now, let's reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet." I tell you, there's something about the word. I move on, I give her another word. He said, "If we confess and forsake our sin, the Lord will have mercy." She stopped me. She said, "Dennis, I love that one. I love that one." Since then, she went back to church. And now when I tell her she's beautiful, she believes that she's beautiful. The word transforms life. It makes you into a better person. Jesus Christ himself in the book of John chapter 14 stood before the disciples Jesus' earthly mission, Brother Marshall, was now coming to a close. He's about now to leave the disciple, going back to glory. The disciples understand that Jesus was now about to leave them, and they became sad. They realized, hey, the one who gives us comfort when we are troubled is about to leave. The one who we bring our problems to is about to leave. Jesus understand that the disciples, their mind was so occupied with the things of this world and consumed by the problem of this world, the struggle of this world. So what Jesus did right here, Jesus take their minds, Brother Spence, from things seen to things unseen. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The disciple life cheers up now because he has hope for them. I tell you, brothers and sisters, there's hope in God. Read God's word and discover the beauty that God have in store for you. Just one word. The story told about this gentleman. His name was Ricky Cruz. I don't know if any of you heard about Ricky Cruz. Ricky Cruz was born in the beautiful island of Puerto Rico. Ricky Cruz, his father was a satanic worshiper. Ricky Cruz's mother was a witch. Ricky Cruz, 17 siblings. Ricky Cruz, while he was there, his mother would beat him. His mom would tell him he's good for nothing. His mom would abuse him in the most wickedest way you could think of. Because when the mom is possessed by the devil, she do crazy thing to Ricky Cruz. Ricky Cruz said his mom lifted him up by his two hands and she told him, look into my eyes. And Ricky Cruz said, when she look in her mother's eyes, all she see her eyes were as orange. Ricky Cruz said his mother locked him into a dark room for 3 days. And while he is in the room, he could smell his own blood while he's in the room. This is real story I'm telling you. Ricky Cruz said at the age of 9, his heart became cold, ice cold. At the age of 9, he had no more remorse for nothing or no one. Ricky Cruz decided in Puerto Rico, he said he climbed a mango tree. I'm being precise. He climbed a mango tree and put a rope around his neck and decided to jump down from the tree. But then he saw his brother under the tree crying, tears cascading down his face. And Ricky Cruz came down of the tree and he hugged his brother. And he said his brother kissed him. He said, my mother never kissed me. My father never kissed me. But my brother kissed me. That creates some form of comfort for him. They transferred from Puerto Rico. They moved to Brooklyn, New York. Ricky Cruz moved to Brooklyn, New York, and he started a gang. I don't remember the name of the gang, but he moved to Brooklyn, New York, and he started a gang. He was the gang leader for the gang. Mind you, we're talking about there's something about the word here. Stay with me. A preacher all the way in Pennsylvania. When you go home today, look him up, Ricky Cruz. A preacher from all the way in Pennsylvania heard about Ricky Cruz's gang. Oh, the preacher was inspired by God. Inspired by God to come all the way off to New York and go down to Brooklyn. When he got to Brooklyn, the police, they told him, hey, don't go into that lane. It's dangerous. No one comes out alive. But I'm telling you, anywhere with Jesus, you can safely go. Anyway. Anyway, Gibbs, anywhere you could go with Jesus. He went down to Brooklyn and he have his microphone and walked to the street and he shout this thing. Jesus love you. Jesus love you. And there was a commotion going on outside and Ricky Cruz said he asked his girlfriend, what is going on outside? And he went outside to see and the man said, Jesus love you. And Ricky Cruz shout on top of his voice. He said, shut up. Don't say that around here. And the preacher keep on saying, Jesus love you. Ricky Cruz said the preacher became quiet and nervous as the preacher stood before him. But then Ricky Cruz said the preacher said something that blow his mind. The preacher said, kill me. Kill me him, he could kill me. If this is what you want to do, kill me. And then he said to him, if you cut my body in pieces, Nicky, and lay it in the street, in every one of those pieces of my flesh, Jesus love you. Nicky Cruz started to back away from him. He said when he went home for the rest of 2 weeks, all he could hear in his head, Jesus love you. When he went to do his wrong deeds, he could hear, Jesus love you. He said, this man changed my focus. He flipped a script in my head. Jesus love you. Jesus love you. Nicky Cruz, God miraculously have someone invited him to church. He and his gang. Listen, my friend, are we coming somewhere? We're talking about something about the word. The word of God is powerful. It makes the liar into true teller, the drunkard into sober, the adulterer, fornicator into abstainer, the Sabbath breaker into Sabbath keeper. There's something about the word. Someone invited Nicky Cruz to church. And when he and his gang got to church, Nicky Cruz said when he got into the church, on one side he saw the other gang members which they are war against. And he said, how can two gang meet up in the church? This is a problem. But being he was the leader of his gang, he tell him, sit still. Let's enjoy church. And while the church was going on, something strange happened. The person who was preaching after the person who was going to preach, just before the offering collect, he walked over to Nicky Cruz and gave him the offering plate. And said, I want you and your friends to collect the offering. The church is in Times Square, a big church in Times Square. And they collect the offering. All of them collect the offering. And while they see the collect the offering, but there was something while the offering was going on. He said, he walked up to a gentleman, and the gentleman needed to put his money in the offering, but the guy pulled out a $20 bill and a $1 bill. And the guy decided to put a $1 bill in the plate. He said, what you doing? Put the $20 bill. He said, the guy be more religious. Are you God? He said, pull out his gun in the church. And then he said that day, everybody became sensitive to God and give God something generously. After they finished collecting the offering, his friend said, Nicky, what are we going to do? We got to leave with this money. Nicky said, no, we are not criminals. But said, Nicky, we are criminals. Nicky said, I know what this pastor want to do. You want to see us, you want to see who we are, but we're going to return the money to the church. After they collect all the money, they bring the 5 basket up and they hand it to the person in charge of the money. And the person took the basket from Nicky and told him, thank you. Nicky said, for the first time in his life, he felt that he did something good. He felt a different feeling in his heart, the word thank you. He got caught up in himself because all this time, you feel like a thug, like, you know, he's stole corn. He have no love for nothing, nobody. But now this man said to him, thank you. That wasn't it. It wasn't finished. And as the preacher started preaching, transformation started happening. Nicky said, while the preacher was preaching, my friend was crying. And he asked his friend, why are you crying? He said, Nicky, what the preacher said is true. I want to embrace it. So Nicky, now being so cold, he said the preacher was preaching and it was hitting him. He was getting the effect of it too. But he started stamping his feet in the ground, trying to distract his mind from what was going on. But he said while he's stamping his feet in the ground, he felt a cold feeling came over him. Hallelujah! A cold feeling came over him. And he cried out, Jesus, I don't know you. Jesus, I don't love you. Jesus, I don't know you. I don't want you. But he said the Spirit came upon him and he felt tears coming on his face. For his first time since he was 9 was the last time he cried. And as a grown man in his 50s now, he finally got a chance to cry. And all because he heard the word that Jesus loved him. Brothers and sisters, I don't know who you are today, whether online or in church. I don't know what you plan to do with your life. But I'm here to tell you, hey, don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on God. Jesus loves you. He's near to the brokenhearted. I don't know what is breaking you right now, but God is near to you. I don't know what you're going through, but he's near to you. He have the antidote for your situation. Nicky Cruz cried. Cut a long story short, Nicky Cruz gave his life to God. Became a mighty preacher. I was listening to him this week. He was preaching. Nicky Cruz went back to Puerto Rico and meet his mom. Mom was still doing demonic worship. Mom gave her life to the Lord. Later on, mom went back to find her father. The father gave up satanic worship. Father gave his life to the Lord. Four of his brothers became evangelists. There's a great change since they were born. There's something about the word. It transformed life. When the word gets into the family, brothers and sisters, the family can never be the same. Cannot be the same. You've got a chance. Give him a chance in the family. Give him a chance in your relationship. Give him a chance on your job. Give him a chance in your personal life. God is amazing, friend. There was a king, Zerubbabel. Jeremiah, preaching for 40 years, warning the children of Israel that they need to turn from their wicked ways. The children of Israel, they do everything to oppose what God say. They were told that they should only work a land for 6 years. But the seventh year, they should leave the land untouched. They do all the opposite thing that God say. They worship other idols. But Jeremiah was preaching for 40 years, warning them in Jerusalem. 40 years, if not, you're going to go in captivity. So 70 years, Jeremiah told them. And I discovered something. Whenever time you see the word 40 appear in the Bible, it's a time for judgment. It's a time for repentance. And it's a time for mission. Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. It was time for mission. Jonah warned Nineveh, 40 days and Nineveh will overthrow. Noah, 40 days and 40 nights sailing on the ocean. Moses, 40 years up in the mountain. Elijah running away from Ahab, 40 days up to the mountain, the very same mountain where Moses was. Elijah was running away. Who is it? Jesus Christ himself again, after his resurrection, spent 40 days with the disciples. There's something about 40. If you're 40 and over today, it's a special. Amen. It's special. Amen. But there's something about let's go to Elijah before we get back to Zerubbabel. Elijah, brothers and sisters, listen to this. Elijah was running away from duty. I'll put it like that. He was running away from duty. When he ran to the cave, Jesus met him there. And Jesus asked him, "What do you hear, Elijah?" I tried to study this week to what God was saying. He said, "Elijah, what do you hear?" What God was saying to Elijah, "Elijah, listen to me, man. I didn't ask you to come here. Elijah, I told you to go to the brook and I take care of you there, didn't I? Elijah, I then when the brook finished, I sent you to Zarephath. And after that, I send you to Israel to tear down the idols of Baal. But right here, I didn't send you here, Elijah. What are you doing here, Elijah?" The question this morning, if you are going anywhere where God don't send you, the question this morning to you, God is saying, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Go back to your post. Go back to your post. That's what God is saying. A lot of us running away from what God wants us to do, to engage in other things. And God is saying, what are you doing here? I have plans for you. What are you doing here? But I said, God is so merciful that even when he was running away from his duty, God met him on the way and feed him. He said, eat, because the journey is long. He said, God knew exactly where he was going. Eat, for the journey is long. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, if God call you for something, he's going to sustain you. If he call you, he's going to make a way for you. Let's get back to Zerubbabel now. Zerubbabel, his name mean one that is born in Babylon. Zerubbabel was a young man born in Babylon after the children of Israel was in captivity for 70 years. Check the book of Nahum and Ezra. You have a clear understanding here. When they were in captivity for 70 years, It came time when God allowed them to leave captivity. What a mighty God. Hey, let me tell you something, my friend. Every man who rule in power don't get there by chance or by accident. It doesn't matter who's your president right now. He didn't get there by chance or by accident. God have him there. I read something in the book of Daniel that God said he ruled in the affairs of men. So nothing happened under the heavens by chance or by accident. While the children of Israel was in captivity, another king came over. I think his name was Darius, if that's his name. And he gave the children the commission to go back to their country, to their land, to rebuild the temple. Zerubbabel took the people and went back. But everything that God say always meet opposition. Always meet discouragement. So guess what? If you're discouraged today, don't give up. God have a way out for it. If you feel like giving up, don't give up. Just hanging in there. God said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So Zerubbabel, they came back to their country and they got a letter from the priest or the governor, the emperor, to rebuild the temple. And why are they building the temple? The enemy, the Samaritan, they came over. They came over to offer aid to build a temple. Let me tell you something, friend. Not everyone who offers you stuff to you should take it. Because there are alternative motives. There's some people who will give you stuff and then they want stuff in return. Talk to our young people when you're going to school. Then don't take stuff from people. Because when some people give you stuff, young ladies, they want stuff. Talking to the unmarried women in the church, don't take stuff from people. Because when they give you stuff, they want stuff. God is able to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. If you only trust him, he'll make a way from you. So Zerubbabel told them, hey, listen to me, man. We don't want your help, Samaritans. And they got angry. They said, you don't want our help? Well, we're going to write the letter back and send it back to the new king takeover. His name was Xerxes. They wrote a letter to Xerxes and tell Xerxes the reason why the church shouldn't be rebuilt. Because number one, he said, if the church rebuilds, Xerxes, I'm sorry, but you ain't going to get no taxes. That hit the economy real bad, didn't it? So he said, okay, let's not build the church. They stopped it for what? They stopped the church building for a while. I could imagine some people probably lost their job because they have no income. But while Zerubbabel was there, God rose up a warrior. His name was Zechariah. Zechariah! King, I tell you, God always have a man for the time. Always have a word for the time. Always show up on time. Hallelujah. Just hang in there. The word came to Zerubbabel. It said to Zechariah, Zechariah, listen to me, man. He's going to go on. God say, it's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my spirit. Said, Lord, not by human effort or human intelligence or human energy. It's only by God. We learn that if God don't build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Whatever you're doing in this life, brother and sister, whatever you're doing, make sure God put his stamp of approval in it. I remember when I was dating my wife. You know, I never tell a girl I love her. Never. Because I just don't want no girl telling me I'm a liar. I see where all my friends' girls telling me they're a liar. They're a heartbreaker. But I don't want to be a heartbreaker. I want to be the cardiologist that take care of the heart. So when I just met my wife in this very church, in fact, she was my Sabbath school teacher right here. And Sabbath school can never be sweeter when your teacher is somebody you love. Brothers and sisters, if you love Jesus, then church must be sweet. Every Sabbath I'm here. Saw my teacher walking like the Queen of England, a big broad hat on her head, and walked and sat in the front. I never tell her I love. It was a secret love going on. Like a secret loving thing going on. Or an undercover loving going on there. But as time goes on, I'm getting more acquainted with her. And then, well, absolutely. And then one day she asked me to do a speech about a Martin Luther King. I have a dream. Oh, Lord, I didn't know I have a dream for her. But see, I'm making a dream. I had a dream. But as time goes on, I realize we get more acquainted. And, you know, I wouldn't say butterfly. Bubbles start popping up in the chest. Absolutely. And as time goes on, we become more friendly. We start hanging out more, go more places. But in my head, I'd be like, I don't really want her to be my girlfriend. I just want her as my friend. And as time goes on, I realize it's getting more and more. I would be at my house in Park Chester, and she'd call me. Hey, Dennis, can you do me a favor? What kind of favor you want? Can you come and park your car in my spot? So I could go away and come back. And when I come back, I get back my spot. Then I felt like a kick, boom, go. And I'm gone. Then she parked her car. Then I have to go back to my house and drive around to find spot. But as time goes on, we get more and more and more and more acquainted. Until I realize that love piercing my heart now. Piercing my heart. One day I asked her, hey, let me tell you, God will give you all the proof and evidence to go forward. Listen to me. I went to Manhattan with her one day, and when I went in the hospital to look for a friend of mine, the guy asked her, is this your husband? In that moment, I want her to say, yes. You know what I'm saying? Then we came back up to Fordham Road, and we walk into a store. The very same day, a lady asked her, is this your husband? I'm like, what's going on? I went to Queens and I saw my cousin. My cousin said, hey, is this your wife-to-be? I'm like, what's going on? My cousin came down from Connecticut and asked me, is this your wife-to-be? What's going on? Brother, after that, brothers and sisters, I said, Lord, you know what, man? I'm going to make the move. But to tell her how much I love her was a rough one. Because mind you, I never tell a girl I love them before. And I want to be certain. I want to be sure. I don't want to look like a fool, because one of the saddest things is for you to stand in the pulpit here as a preacher and breaking people's heart. It's not good among the church. Be true to your word. So one night I try to tell her how much I love her. Clea, I got something to tell you. I couldn't tell her. So I drove and I went home. I said, maybe I could tell her over the phone. Let me call her. Clea, you know, I got something to tell her. Dennis, you have all night to tell me what you need to tell me. And she hung up the phone and she went. In that moment, I said, yeah, it's time. We move on and we decide, so we go become boyfriend and girlfriend. Now, I tell the thing with me, right? When I start dating her, I stood before the church and I tell the church. And every time Pastor White would see me, he would say, Dennis, when you're ready, let me know. I have the black book ready. You see, brothers and sisters, when you're dating in the atmosphere of glory in heaven, everybody should know about it. So the church could pray for you and pray with you and wish you well. Like my newly couple, right? They just got married. God bless them. You know what I'm saying? Church would pray for you and wish you well. And as time goes on, listen to this now. I end up finding myself at Zales. For those who know Zales, that's where you buy the ring. Hope I put the right finger up, eh? Hope I buy the ring. We went to Zales and we look at rings. We come to Zerubbabel, huh? Are we talking about make sure the Lord is leading? We went to Zales and we look at the ring size, and she tried one and it fit her real well, and I remember the size. I said, okay, let's go now, let's go. Because that price was right. That price was right. I said, let's go. And I went, I dropped her home, and then I went back to Zales and I put a down payment. I couldn't pay for that in one shot. I put it and lay away. There is no rush in this. We're taking it time by time. went back and I paid for my ring and I carved her name inside of it and my name carved up inside of it. And you know what I'm saying? And I took the ring down. I took the ring to Brooklyn and have it on my job for 3 months. Those 3 months was deep heart searching. Because now I realize once I put the ring on, it's sending a universal message. And I'm like, God, are you sure you want me to do this? And listen to prayer, I pray. Remember that I said, make sure what you're doing, make sure God is doing it. Listen to prayer that I pray. I said, God, if you are not leading this get-togetherness, I pray that you may create obstruction. Break it down and mash it up. That's the prayer I was praying, and I was serious about praying it. When I met my wife, you know, she used to listen to some kind of music. And I said, God, if really you leading, I want you to let my wife get rid of those music. I went to my wife's house one morning. When I got there, I saw her with two plastic bags in her hand. We used to play CDs then, eh? Two plastic bags of CD, and I watched her. She walked to the garbage, and she threw them down the garbage. Brothers and sisters, goosebump hit me from every angle. Every angle, I walked back to Brooklyn. I took my ring out of my closet there at the job, and I walk around and practice how to propose. I bend down before all the ladies at the job and practice how to propose. I tell her, brothers and sisters, God give you all the evidence to go ahead. Right when I was there at the job, I was singing a song that Sister Freeman's son sang. He liked to sing it. His name was Keeman Freeman, for those who know him. He sang a song called "When Others See a Shepherd Boy, God Sees a King." And while I was singing that song at the job, as busy as it noise as the job was, I felt the presence of God came upon me. And I felt like everybody surround me, everybody who ever tell me anything about my wife and ask me any question, God said, you asked me if you should go ahead. Okay, there is your cousin said, God told him she should be. There is that. There. And I saw everybody who say, I should go ahead. And I said, God, that's it. And I move on. And thanks be to God, we've been serving, how many years there? I lost count. We've been serving many years of happiness. And I plan to go on and go on and go on and go on, no matter what challenge come my way. Because once you know God called you towards something, you cannot abort it. If you try abort it, you have a big problem. So I'm decided to fight it through. It's not easy sometimes in here. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we have disagreement. You see, we smiling up here. Hey, let me tell you something. It's not easy, friends. We cry sometimes. We fight sometimes. But once we step out of the door, the fight left in the house. When we go back home, we fight again. But with Jesus, all things are possible. All things are possible. We're going to close in a few minutes. So Zerubbabel, he got the commission from God. That's not by might, nor by power. By spirit, say the Lord. Brothers and sisters, whatever you're doing in this life, please make sure you get God's approval. If you don't have God's approval, you're going the wrong way. If you don't have God's approval, you're going to have problem. So whatever you do in this life, get God's approval, knowing it's not by might, nor by power, not by your intelligence, nor your high school degree, or whatever you have, or your money in the bank, but it's by the spirit of the mighty and powerful God. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath.
Let's all stand for our closing hymn. Hymn number 590.
In the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do it, he abides with us still. He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Trust and know. Not a shadow can rise. Not a shadow. Not a cloud in the skies. But his smile quickly drives it away. Quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear. Not a doubt, no. Not a sight nor a tear. Can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we, not a sorrow we share. For we feel richly with, not a grief nor a loss. Not a grief nor a, not a frown nor a loss. But it's blessed if we trust. Oh, trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust. Just a minute before we sing the last stanza. You know, I've learned something. Being a call porter for many years, I've discovered by reading the call porter ministry and reading the Bible that the preaching never accomplished until someone get a chance to give their life to the Lord or recommit. Because if the preaching just preach and we just cut and go home, it will just be like a show. And when we come to church, it's about reformation, correction, instruction in righteousness so we can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So my appeal today, if you are here today, in the hearing of my voice, the Spirit speaks to you today. If you realize that you want God to help you to make godly decision, intelligent decision, just raise your hand today while I pray with you. Shall we pray? Loving Father in heaven, you saw the hands of your people went up today. I put my hand up, Lord, because each day, Lord, I need to make God a decision. Because, Lord, not because I preach, if my decision is not in harmony with your word, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. So, Lord, today as we raise our hand, saying that we want you, Lord, to take away our ignorance and give us your wisdom. Because our wisdom is foolishness. We raise our hand today asking you, Lord, to lead us, to live out your life within us. Help us to do that which will bring glory to your name. And Lord, if we are doing anything, if we are doing anything, or if we're going to do anything that doesn't carry your approval, we ask today that you may create obstruction. Stop it, Lord, just as though you use the angel to stop the donkey for that man. Stop it, Lord, just as though you stop Saul as he entered into Damascus. Lord, we want to do things to please you, to glorify you, to honor you, to magnify you. Hear our prayer today, we pray, along with the forgiveness of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. For the favor he shows.